Good to see all y'all.
What's your name? My,
she's teaching the kids the first Sunday of teaching the youngsters. So she's growing, and man, life is good. Marriage is good. The Lord is awesome, and I'm thankful to be here today. Brother Ron's here. He's going to have the word for our worship time, and Brother Ron. It's been a blessing for the men to come here and speak. I know it's been a blessing to you, but it's also been a blessing to them, and they really they love you, and brotherly love is just a wonderful thing.
Yes,
that we
sir.
Have that.
Yeah.
Great thing. Brian, could I get you to lead us in a prayer?
Sure. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with so a bowed head and such a humble heart this morning. Lord, it's a beautiful, wonderful day to come together. We look around and see the sun shining, and all the brothers and sisters who are here this morning to study your word. It's a great day, Lord. Lord, we pray that you bless us throughout the week to come, because we know what's on the other side of these doors. Satan is just waiting for us in here and out there, Lord, for battles that we will have to take. Lord, let us just trust you and do thy will and not our will. Let us listen hard this morning to your word. Let us carry with us and share it with others, Lord, this morning and throughout this week, Lord. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you gave us this past week. You provided our needs with the clothes, food, roof, and the ability to be here, and our health to be here. We're just so grateful for all that, Lord. Lord, both here at Edge Hill and Caution Street, I know there's so many that are sick and unable to attend this morning, Lord, and I pray that you be with each and every one of them and be with their doctors, and just, you know their needs, Lord. Just provide them with their needs so they can come back and join us in worshiping you and praising you here in the near future, Lord. Lord, once again, just thank you for everything that you do in our lives. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to look at, we'll take a look at chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I don't know about you, but I really like 1 and 2 Peter and James, and it's just amazing what God gives to us through those letters, the amount of information and encouragement we get from those letters. I really enjoy them. And I read this the other day, and I was like, wow. That's a lot there. Two verses. So much. How God can communicate to us through His Word is amazing. Can someone read that? Wesley?
What verse?
3 and 4.
3 and 4. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1.
2 Peter?
2 Peter.
2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter.
Okay.
Chapter 1.
I'm trying to get it so fast.
No, that's okay.
Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And it reads, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And what I thought we'd do is I thought we would go through these two verses, and I'll share some thoughts with you. You can share with your own experiences. I mean, that's how I've learned a lot, by the way that we share our experiences in life and what God has done for us and what the Word tells us to do and how to implement the Word of God. And reading the scriptures, just talking about the through the true knowledge, the knowledge that God has given to us, and I think of Jesus saying, you know, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every single word is true in God's Word. Every single word. You know, also think about 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed.
Yes.
And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The fact that He has given us everything that we need in His Word to do His will, it is complete. And He's given it to each one of us. And He's protected His Word, and He's delivered His Word over the years. This Scripture's been around for, you know, almost 2,000 years of the New Testament, and it's been preserved for us to save us. And He's done that for us.
I was going to say, you know, we have the Scripture, but it comes with a responsibility. 2 Timothy tells us that in 2:15, you know, study to show yourself approved. I mean, we can look at the Scripture all day long, but if we don't study it, we don't really get a good understanding of God's Word. And through study, I believe, is where we get a closer relationship with God.
What do you attribute that to? What brings us closer to Him?
I mean, as we study, as we go into a deep study of Scripture, mm-hmm. we begin to understand God better, I think, or more. And through that, our faith is lifted up. And I think we apply it more to our lives mm-hmm. because we get a deeper understanding. And I say that all the time in our ladies' class. You can read the Bible all day long, but you don't get out of it what you do when you go into a deep study. Mm-hmm. A deep study of the Scripture will show you God.
Yeah. The more He reveals Himself, the more
yes.
we find out about Him, the more mm-hmm.
exactly.
we fall in love with Him and in all of His
yeah.
of His glory, His His love for us. Yeah.
The awesomeness of Him.
Yeah.
God gave us that blueprint of how to defend ourselves against Satan. When He was tempted in the wilderness, what did He say? It is written. And we should do these. What He said is, turn those stones to bread. And Jesus gave Him the Word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gave Him the Word, right? He responded with the Word of God.
Right.
So obviously He knew the Word. He knew it wholeheartedly.
Right. Yeah.
And so when in our studies and our trying to get there where we can be able to call book, chapter, and verse, that's a gift. That's a gift when they're able to quote. But again, Lord willing, as we study, we should get enough from the Scriptures that we can tell this doesn't seem right. This doesn't feel right. This don't. It doesn't make heart sense. Doesn't make common
mm-hmm.
sense. Let
yeah.
me back off. Let me study. Let me research first.
Right.
Because again, we don't know it all. And again, the devil's cunning. And also, man. Man is very cunning. Say, for you and only you today, you only got 3 hours for this special deal. Only you. You got to be wiser than that. Right. No, there's something wrong. Yeah, because he's going to pack up and leave.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Good comments. Let's hear. Oh, Wesley had something. And I'll get to Brian.
I'm in agreement with everything that was just said. But to the answer to your question also, do we know enough to not be misled? I would say, yes, we know enough not to be misled. Because if you know where to go to get the answer, that is knowing a lot right there.
Yes.
But we have to continue to study, as what was being said, because we tend to forget so quickly and so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are constantly being bombarded by the devil with tricks and trades to try to throw us off track.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep encouraging our own selves and keep growing in the knowledge of God to try not to be thrown off track, you know. But yes, we know enough to not be misled. because if we know to go to the Bible, that's a not a lot right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brian.
It all goes back to that relationship. Mm-hmm. You've got to have that interaction with the Lord to get to know Him, to be able to trust Him. Because if you don't study His Word and know Him more and more every day, you'll grow apart in that relationship with Him, and you won't have that trust. It's just like when you use the example of the shepherd. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep knows the shepherd's voice.
That's right.
But that takes time and development to have a relationship like that. When things hit us, and all these promises that He told us through Scriptures, when things hit us, Satan keeps telling us, did He really say that? Mm-hmm. And then we put doubt in our mind. But if we get to know the Lord and study His Word daily and keep turning to Him, we understand and realize He's the only way. And when Satan says that, we go, yes, He's proven it to me time and time again because I have that daily relationship. Right. If I don't have that daily relationship, I'll start to, you won't have that same relationship and you'll start separating that relationship with Him. So it's a daily relationship. It's like your mother or your father or somebody really close to you that you talk to, or your wife that you talk to on a daily basis. Y'all didn't talk, how would that relationship be?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Alan?
You know, in years without coach, you've heard this before. But I used to tell the kids that if you strive for perfection, you'll never be perfect, but you won't stop striving. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes with the Scriptures. If you go just enough to get by, then you're going to stop striving to be for perfection. God knows we're not going to be perfect. He's already said we are. We're going to sin. Mm-hmm. But if we don't keep striving to get better, we could. This is what's happened to the world a lot of time with legalistic ways. They don't strive any further. They take what the top of it says and don't want to research it anymore. Don't want to go behind the Scripture and get more in depth with it. Mm-hmm. You can read the surface of everything, and you can live by that, and then all of a sudden, you're going to find it contradictory what the world is saying too. So you really need to go deeper than the Scripture. That's where the striving for perfection, and you don't stop striving, you will learn more.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay.
Alan said just about what I was going to say, right. But I have a verse to go with that. And in knowing you just enough is dangerous. We need to crave that spiritual milk. Mm-hmm. You need to grow up in our salvation, 1 Peter 2:2. And make sure that you are, like Alan said, getting deeper. Don't get complacent. Say, I know a few verses, just enough to get me by. But if somebody comes to you with something a little deeper, you're going to be lost. And you don't want that. You don't want to be complacent. You don't want to just be satisfied with where you are. Everybody should get that Scripture. And it's amazing that even the verse that you just read, that grace and peace will come to us in 1 Peter, right before you did verse 3. Grace and peace will be ours in abundance in the knowledge.
Right.
We're going to have that grace and peace, and you know what that's going to make us do? Hunger for more.
Well,
hunger for more.
Well, man doesn't live by bread alone, but we don't miss a meal, do we?
Oh, no.
I have missed a meal. But we need to have, we need to crave it. I mean, if we don't eat for a day, I attack the plate, and that's what we need to do with God's.
I think the key verse in here is if we want these exceedingly great and precious promises, it says we may partake of them. In other words, the choice is ours. The choice is how much how much do we want God's blessings? How much do we want to be in His family? Mm-hmm. It's going to take an effort on our part. We're just not going to automatically receive them. Because some of us are and some of us not. What does it say for us? It's an offering from God to us, but He wants you to take it. He wants you to want it.
That's true.
He wants you to work for it.
One of the most amazing things for all of us is we all learn differently. I just told you, I learned differently. I learned from others, and there's different ways that I learn. I don't learn like anybody else, but God can communicate to each one of us, and we're so different. And He can get His will communicated. He can get His love communicated to us, His grace, His truth. And isn't that amazing? this is a universal message that goes, it's for everybody. No matter where you live, what you talk, what you do for a living, what country, this applies to every human. How does he do that? You know, we're talking about the word. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yes.
In dividing the truth, the pure truth, and he's given that to us.
I like it when it said, go all the way down to the marrow of the bone.
All the way down, yeah.
Oh, man. That's heavy. Because you're really getting involved with the Lord. Intimately.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what I like about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And he's getting involved with us intimately.
Oh, yeah, very much
and that he's dividing the sin out of our lives.
Yeah.
And that hurts sometimes, doesn't it? He's got a lot of cutting to do on me. It's not that pleasant. But what, you know, I know we know about cancer, and we know that when they take cancer out, they try. You don't want to get any good skin. You just want to get the cancer out. And God doesn't take anything good out of us. All he takes is the bad. I wish they had that for cancer. You just cut that cancer out and be done with it. But he cuts out the sin and leaves the good. And it's that fine that he can do that. And out of his grace that he does that. Hey, I want to talk about this calling. Everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and his goodness. What made you answer the call? What was it? I know what it was for me. It was probably the same for you. Somebody sat down and showed you the Word of God, didn't they? Yes?
I know that God knows your heart. For me, it was always striving to find, and people heard me say that in here or quite often. I know you probably have too. I've went through so many different religious organizations, whatever you want to call it, trying to find the true place. And most places that I've been at, or most congregation I've been at, they really didn't want you to study the Bible for yourself. Now, I've been always inquisitive. I always want to find out what's going on. So my question to myself always was, if God wants me to live according to his ways, why can I not read the Bible myself and understand it? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the book for then? Just for clergies? So, and the last place that I was trying to study with was with Jehovah's Witness. And a friend of mine came as they were leaving. We were at Fort Lee at the time. And she said, are you really searching for the Lord? I said, yeah. She said, go to church with me Sunday morning. So I went to church with her on Sunday morning, which was at Carson Street. Billy Harper was preaching. And I was amazed because through all of his preaching, it was like he gave you scriptures where you can look it up yourself and all of this. This impressed me so much, and I was getting so much out of it because I finally was able to study for myself. And I didn't even have a Bible at that time. So I told Billy that, and he gave me a Bible. And I went to study, and he came to the house and studied with me. They had the film strips at that time. And I told Mike, I said, I'm going to get baptized. Next time I'm going to get baptized. And Mike was like, at that time, he said, you don't know what you're getting into. You know, they had all these sects coming out at the time and people getting killed because they followed a certain preacher or whatever. I said, Mike, something tells me I need to do this. So Billy came, and before he even started, I said, Billy, I need to get baptized. He said, let's go.
Wow.
And it's I think the Lord knows your heart, and he will draw you. I always said that before. God will draw you to him if your heart is light. If you're truly searching, he will draw you to himself. Mm-hmm. And you know, the funny thing is, the lady that took me to church, she never came back. The Lord put her in my place at the right time.
Yeah.
And if I look at my whole life, I see it. I mean, Mike had to come to Germany to bring me over here in order to get in touch with the Lord's church. Tell me this is not God guiding your footsteps and drawing you to himself.
Yeah. And how powerful is his word?
Exactly.
How powerful is his word? Yes.
I get to work about an hour early, so I'm one of the first ones there. But there's another gentleman who's there. From day one, I could tell he was a Christian just by his spirit, by his the way he acts. So he had no hesitation to tell you that he was, this is the blessed Lord's day and how blessed he is by God. So last week, it's funny you asked that. Last week I asked him, what drew you to him? He said, it was my sister. Hmm. He said, I could see it in my sister. I could see God in my sister, and I wanted to be a part of that because she would always tell me, hey, you need to come to church. And the way she was living is what drew me there. Mm-hmm. And we got to realize we're a part of that calling for God.
Exactly.
We're told in Mark 16:15 to go into all the world and preach the good news. We are what shares that news because we can influence others. And we're a part of that calling. We have a part to do with that calling. And we need to remember that. So often we get into living our daily lives and forget about what we're here for. You can, when somebody is hooked on to like she was just talking about, and like this man was talking about, when somebody gets hooked on to it, you can tell.
That's what's so important about gathering together. To me, on Sundays and Wednesdays, getting together, that helps. It helps to see church family, God's family. If I didn't, I think I would drift away. Yes, Ray.
I think anybody in here has a particular story.
Yes.
When they first started coming to church. Mine, of course, is about my mother. My mother told me she had been baptized, and, you know, and I didn't understand all that. She said, come.
You know, don't do that. I'm 65 years old, and I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of Christians, quote unquote. I see them play with God's word. I've seen them act like they all perfect and everything. No, I see you. I see, let that person see you, because we are going to make mistakes. Right. We're going to make them almost every day. You're not perfect.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
We sin some type of way almost every day. And you got to say, God, please guide me. You know, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. And you have to ask the Holy Spirit to guide each step, because you can't do it by yourself. And I just see a lot of people just act like they are so perfect. You're not.
Right.
You're not. Be what God wants you to be. He wants you to be his child.
Yeah.
He wants you to come to him. When you make mistakes, when you're trying to teach somebody else's word, you ask him to guide you. Don't act like I said you wrote this book, because you did not. Right. These are God's words for you to learn, for you not to keep it to yourself, but to give it. Give it back, and give it back in love.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. Now, by the way, for the record, the only way that I know that Alan's not perfect is because only Christ is perfect. That's the only way. The Bible says we're all, you know. I've never seen him make a mistake.
And talking to my wife, right?
Ever. Yes.
I was going to pick up what Charles was saying. You know, we got to live it on a daily basis. It's not just going out and teaching, but it's you got to show the world, I'm different. You know, I'm not participating in the things that you're participating in. I'm not going to treat people the way some people treat it. Mm-hmm. You know, I see it all the time. Just go to the grocery stores. People get obnoxious because they have to wait in line. Well, a Christian shouldn't act that way. Mm-hmm. The way people sometimes talk to other people, just because of the way they look or what they wear or whatever, Christians don't act that way.
Right.
Or shouldn't.
Exactly. And it's by how you deal with people and teaching them. But I think it starts with how you treat other people so they would be receptive to what you're trying to teach them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're obnoxious, they're not going to listen to you. If you act like you know it all, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
And we have to, before we go out in the world, we have to look at the man or woman in the mirror before we go out and ask yourself, you know, am I a Christian? Or am I going to do the things the way the world does it? It's and I always tell people, don't be mistaken that a Christian life is easy. No, because we do battle each and every day, mm-hmm. every minute of each and every day. Mm-hmm. I have people tell me, you know, Christianity or religious is for sissies. Well,
oh, really?
walk a day in my shoes, you know. But Christians need to show who they belong to. We are set apart from the world.
We are.
And we need to act that way.
We are. Yep.
Do we as Christians exhibit the fruit of the Spirit?
Amen. Right.
Do we have those things showing in us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That joy, that peace, that love. That's something that most of us, I would say some of us, we don't have that love. Mm-hmm. We don't show that love. Mm-hmm. But that love is very important. Mm-hmm. We have to show that. In other words, we're the light that's set on the hill.
Exactly.
That can't be here. They have to see us and see Christ in us.
Right.
A lot of times we don't exhibit that.
Exactly.
Being in the world and the things are so troubling in the world, it's kind of difficult. You're on guard at all times, mm-hmm. actually.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we are soldiers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on a soldier. We're soldiers. We're on the battlefield. And we got to realize that the enemy is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be on guard, eyes wide open. You can't be sleeping at your post. You're on guard duty. And I say that in a lot of respects for the men of the house.
Mm.
We are point man. You are responsible for what comes in and comes out of that house.
Exactly.
Do not think you're exempt. You have that responsibility squarely on your shoulders to conduct that house in a way that God will be pleased in everything. So that even, so in your household, whoever the household is, you may have children who have social media. Guess who's responsible?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Guess who's responsible? You have objectionable TV programs.
Uh-huh.
Who's responsible? We are.
That's true. Yep.
Everyone. As soldiers, as all members of the Church of Christ.
Yep. Look, that's a good comment. Let me move on to, what about this his glory and his goodness? He called us by his glory and his goodness. And why does he love us?
He's our creator.
Why does he love us? But look at us.
He's our creator.
Why does he love us? We're broken.
He's our creator. He knows what the potential.
We're not perfect.
But he knows what he's made. And he knows what you can be.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like a father, a mother, family. When the child finally decides what they want to be when they grow up, you get excited. Hey, you want to be a surgeon? We're happy. You want to be a vet? We're happy. You want to be an airplane pilot? We're happy. You just feel that excitement. You want to encourage them. You want to help them get there. And so same with God, our Creator. He says, I know what you can be. What do you want to be? And then hopefully all of us have been saying wholeheartedly, once we come to that realization, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. Being a pilot, being a nurse, being a doctor is secondary. Mm-hmm. I want to be a Christian.
Yeah, but he died for us. Mm-hmm. He died for a wretch like me. Look, we focus on that, and when we go out into the world, that's isn't that what's going to help us to love others? Mm-hmm. Isn't it His love for us that allows us to participate in the divine nature, to go out into this broken world, which is getting worse and crazier, and to love people that are not lovable, like we're not lovable? And to, you know, we receive His grace, and we need to give that grace. Mm-hmm. And never forgetting what He pulled us out of. He is working on us. But He had, I don't know about when He called you, but when he called me, I mean, there was nothing. He's everything. He pulled me out of nothingness, and He brought me into His family and made me His son, gave me His Spirit, gave me all this knowledge, sent people into my life to give me this knowledge. All the knowledge that I needed, gave me the ability to understand it, mm-hmm. after being helped, like the Ethiopian eunuch, you know. Yes?
What I was going to say is we have to remember, God didn't create us for ourselves. He created us for Him.
Right.
Therefore, He calls us His sons and daughters. And if you have sons and daughters, you know yourself, you love them.
Right.
You would sacrifice just about anything for them. God is the same way. He loves the children. And well, He sacrificed His own son for us, right. to draw Him back to Him. It's not God that turns His back on His creation. It's His creation that turns His back on Him.
That's right.
And I try to remind myself of that all the time. I'm not in this world for my own pleasure. I'm here to glorify God. And every Christian does that. Every Christian is here to glorify God, to teach His ways. Why? Because He doesn't want any of His creations to be lost. He gave us a command to go out and teach these people, to draw them. That's what Jesus came to do. Forget about yourself, He's saying, you know, do for me. It's about me, not about you. It's about me and my creation. It needs to be saved. It needs to be brought home. And we forget that a lot of times. We think it's all about us.
Yeah.
You know, me and I, and forget about God.
I'll say that God loved us.
Exactly.
That's why He sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world to redeem us, mm-hmm. give us that way to eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He shed His blood for us.
Amen.
He did.
He loved us for that because we were sinners.
Mm-hmm. Remember that old phrase not too long ago? It was used quite a bit. Pay it forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Pay it
uh-huh.
forward.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's nothing new.
Right.
God has done that from day one.
Absolutely. Yep, He did. Yep, Brian?
You know, we just talked about how God looked at each one of us while we were sinners, how precious we are to Him.
We are.
And so often as Christians, we will write somebody off, saying that they're not, they're too far gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At what point were we too far gone that God still called us, God still reached out for us? And it gives us that, like Judy was talking about earlier, it gives us a different perspective on individuals,
exactly.
of how to look at it. There's nobody that is too far gone. Solomon Gomorrah is a perfect example. Noah's Ark is a perfect example. Every soul is precious in the exactly. sight of the Lord. And that's the way we should look at every soul that's out there. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So what about these great promises that He's made for us?
He's,
yeah, giving us His very great and precious promises. You know, that He forgives us. You know, what does He say? You really forgive me? You forgive me for everything I've ever done? How I've trespassed against you? He's our Father. He is our Father. His Spirit is in us. We're a new creation. We died. We're new. We have eternal life.
You know, the Holy Spirit.
We've got the Holy Spirit.
That's a big one.
That's a very big one. Yeah. Very big one. And He's given us all this. So the last thing is to participate in the divine nature. Mm-hmm. How are you doing with that? How are you participating? We're trying.
The Lord Himself said to be perfect, like He is. So that's something we all have to strive to do.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. We're not going to be. But one day, we'll be with the perfect one.
That's true. But it's like yesterday, you know, when God gives us opportunities. I was at Jerry's house and Osway is putting a deck on the house. And we just got into this. I just walked up and I was not looking for a spiritual conversation, although we ought to always be looking for one. And he asked me how I knew Jerry. Oh, I go to church. And then we started talking about church, and we started talking about his upbringing. He's from Ecuador. His mother was Jehovah's Witness. He came to America, and his dad, I don't know what he was involved in, but he's got a son, and he's showing his son the stories of Jesus. And you know, he's getting to that point where he's been brought up in church, whether it was right or wrong. He decided that it was wrong, it wasn't the truth, but he hasn't found a church that he sees goes by the Bible. I was hoping that he'd come today, and
I had a long conversation with him, but
very encouraging.
We're gonna make progress with him.
But God put us together with him. Now, whether he decides to see the truth or whether he wants to accept it, that's up to him. But to work in that capacity to bring others to Christ, I was able to bring Tina to Christ. Isn't that something? We're out there, we're spreading the gospel, and we're bringing people to Christ. We're participating in the divine nature. We're here on earth in this tent, yet we're living a spiritual life. We're trying to focus on our spiritual life. Yes?
I'm going to say this quickly, hopefully. God is a God of chances, second chances as well. And I'm glad I can live my life and know what it was about. But when I found him, I knew I had to make a major change in my life. Because now I have purpose of trying to make sure I do the right thing, bring others to Christ, and do whatever it takes. Laws according to God's word.
Right.
Treat folk right. And I don't care what background they have, human beings. And I thank you. I'm thankful to God that I don't want to look down on anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to get everybody. I want to have the mindset of Christ. Right. Everybody needs help.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's in a great position. He was taxpayers and all that, tax collector. But he was there because they needed him.
Yeah.
And he needed to teach them a major lesson about people and most of all, love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great comment, Ray. Yeah, our purpose.
Yeah.
We were without purpose. I've been a Christian for 18, 19 years now. I couldn't imagine being outside of Christ in this world today. Well, we have purpose. We do have purpose. And what a great purpose. Saving souls.
Yeah.
And we have the word of truth, which, Brian, that was great when you talk. It's like a compass. It is pure north. And any time we need direction, we come here and we get the true bearing on Christ. and it's right here in our fingertips. What a great thing. And we have each other. Mm-hmm. It's been a great time. I appreciate it. It's good to be with y'all.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, yeah. Chuck.